Bible to Jeremiah chapter 5. And as we have gathered here this evening, remember all across the world, from Africa to Asia to Europe, Russia, China, South America, all of them, all over the world, people are doing what they're doing. Businesses, wars, rumors of wars, problems, all kinds of economic and social things going on all over the world. And here you are, little group of people gathered together to give God recognition and respect and pay attention to Him. The rest of the world isn't doing that. All those little believers all over the place, we hope. But hey, so that's what you're doing. Say, what are we doing? You're doing something that very rarely is to be seen anywhere in the world. A group of believers interested in God and what He's doing. Now, in the light of that, in the light of our, in the presence of God, order, if you would please, to Jeremiah chapter 5. And remembering as we proceeded last time, may I pick up, please, in verse 29. Shall I not visit for these things all that is happening in Israel, in Judah, Jerusalem? Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Should not I take vengeance on this nation? Should I not do that? Question. And of course, God's laying out where they're coming from. And should I not take vengeance? So, in the light of that, we then looked at verse 30. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land of Judah, Jerusalem. And in that land is committed something. And the word committed, the verb to commit, to breathe, to exist, to come into being, to happen, to take place. Something is taking place in the land. What is taking place? What is happening in the land? God said, would you pay attention to what is happening in the land? Now, and thus, he has two words. One, a wonderful, wonderful. And the word wonderful, astonishing, appealing, appealing. Desolate, desolation, destruction, wonderful, awesome, not the word, but appealing, appalling, thus appalling, I should say. And the second word, it's that not only is it appalling and the desolation, the destruction that's taking place, but it is a horrible thing. And when you look at the word horrible, you're looking at the word to shudder, to excite, to stir up a horror, something horrible, horrifying, terrifying. Wow. What is it, my God, that is this terrible? Over, if you would, to pick up that word just in Jeremiah, over to chapter 18. In chapter 18, picking up, if I can, in verse 13. Therefore, look, you're looking at that little word, horrible, horrible, exciting, shuddering, a horror. Verse 13. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ask ye now among the nation, the heathen, who hath heard such things? The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. What is very horrible? What have they done that is so horrible? Over, if you would, to chapter 23. Chapter 23. And picking up our word again, in verse 14, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery, They walk in lies. They strengthen also the bands, the hands, strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They stay on course in the wrong direction. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. They are all like Sodom and Gomorrah to me. It's a horrible thing, horrible. Over to chapter 29. Again, God will say it. And in chapter 29, picking up, please, in thought. And you'll notice, please, over in, verse 17. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send upon them the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and they will make them like, and will make, I'm going to make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. The little word vile, horrible, horrible. I'm going to make them like a horrible fig, and you wouldn't want to touch it. It's a rotten fig. I'm going to make the Israel like that, Judah like that, Jerusalem like that. It's a horrible thing. Now, back over, if you would, to chapter 5. And thus, now he's going to add to this, the prophets prophesy falsely. The prophets, so what? They're falsely prophesying. They're going and they're speaking, they're giving messages from, they said, from God. God told me, in a vision I heard this. And of course, it wasn't true at all. It was all false. That they were given assurance that it would be okay. What happened years ago in 722 when the 10 tribes in the north were taken by Assyria? That'll never happen to us. We have the temple. We have the temple in Jerusalem. God will not let it come here. Nebuchadnezzar, don't you worry about him. Don't you worry. Now, the prophets prophesied falsely, and the priest, in verse 30, the priest, verse 31, and the priest bear rule by their means. And the little word bear rule, verb, to overthrow, to subdue, to tread down, to rule. The priest bear rule, overthrow. They're treading down. They're using their authority over the people. The priest bear rule by their means. And by their means is a little word, at or preposition. And then the word hands, at hands, H-A-N-D-S, hands, at the hands. The priests are ruling, overthrowing, exercising, subduing the people at their hands. And so thus at the hand, guidance, direction. The priests are doing what they do by means. They're ruling the people with their guidance. They're guiding them. They're the priest, and they're the authorities between them and the prophets. They're united hand in hand to do what they're doing. It's all in their own interest, for their own pleasure. They have giving a false sense of security, of things that are going to be all right, no matter how much you read and consider that it could be. It isn't good, it's going to be good, it's going to work out, and therefore they're looking for the people to approve and to applaud what they're doing. Thus, in verse 31, the prophets prophesied falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. Now, hold your finger here a minute, and let me go back over to Isaiah chapter 30. And in Isaiah chapter 30, picking up, please, in verse 9, 30 and verse 9. I'll even read a little bit ahead. Remember, they're going and they're looking, the Judah, Jerusalem, They're looking to the Egyptians to help them. And the Egyptians are not the people to help them against Nebuchadnezzar. They're not the ones. And thus in the process, in verse 1, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit." That, what's the purpose? They're avoiding God. Why? That they might add sin to sin. That walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, to trust in the shadow of Egypt. So they're looking to the Egyptians to rescue them somehow, some kind of agreement, some kind of thing. Egyptian army will come up and protect them. Verse 7. "For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still." If you're looking for Egypt to do anything, they're just going to sit still. They're going to do nothing. You're going to hope in Egypt to come to your rescue, and it isn't going to come. You're going to hope for America to come to your rescue, and it isn't going to come. Now, in the light of that, verse 9, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, to the people that are teachers of the scripture and that, which say to the seers, "See not, we don't want you to give us the scripture, don't tell us that. To the prophets, prophesy not, do not prophesy unto us," what? "The things that are right, don't tell us the truth. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceit, lie to us up to your teeth, over your head, lie to us." That's what we want. Don't tell us the truth. Now, verse 11. "Get you out of the way. Turn aside." What are they telling the prophets? Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path of looking to God. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Good prophets, don't bring us God's word. We don't want to hear God's word. We don't want to hear from the Holy One. We don't want to hear from God. Give us anything, but don't tell us what God is saying. We don't want to hear it. Hang on to that. "In the last days will I come, will I find the body of truth residing in God's people?" That's a rhetorical question. No. And more, less and less do we want to know. People want to know the truth. Because the truth is hard. It's the right thing, but to get the truth. Back over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah in chapter 5. In Jeremiah chapter 5, remember now, the prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule. They're guiding, governing, leading, manipulating, maneuvering for their own interest, pleasure, by their own means. And to boot, here's the people in the public under the government of Israel. "And my people have my people love to have it so. My people love to have it so. So thus, that the little word so at the end, going back to my people love this. Think of pointing at it. So thus, they love this. My people point love this. So you got the power of that. Wow. Verse 30. "My people have it so. They love it so. They love it. They love it." Now, in the process of that, loving it, to have their innermost desire, if you would, their pursuit, what they're after, what they're looking for, they're very fond of, they like, they want it, they approve, applaud, accept, Everything that's coming their way from the priests and the prophets as they give them, they combine religion and politic coming together. And they like it. In fact, they love it. They love it so. They love it. Now, over if you would, to get that. Over Jeremiah chapter 2. My people love it so. Jeremiah chapter 2. And picking up, please, in verse 25, we'll get the where we want to go. Withhold, that means keep thy foot. So God's prophet telling him, Israel, keep thy foot from being unshod. You're chasing a wild ass, a wild she-ass out to mate. Going to find somebody somewhere to get to. Going to find them no matter what they do. And I'll read verse 29 to get that. A wild ass used to the wilderness that snuffeth up the wind, smelling, looking at her pleasure. In her occasion, she can turn away all they that seek her will not weary themselves in her month. They shall find her. Remember, she's going to look for them. She's going to find them. Verse 25, withhold, keep yourself. Don't get worn out. Don't get worn out hunting like the wild ass. Don't get worn out looking for things out there. Look to God. They aren't looking to God. They're looking out around them to find safety, security. Safety, security, certainty. Verse 25. Withhold thy foot from being unshod, and thy throat dry, parched from thirst. But thou sayest, you're going to lose it. You're going to get so depleted, so worn out, you won't be able to recover. And thy throat from thirst. But thou sayest, what did they say? There is no hope. No, for I have loved strangers, and after them I go. That's what I'm doing. You know better. You do. It's a horrible thing. Appalling. That you would do this. That you would do it. And you do it with zeal. And you love to do it. You love listening to wrong kind of stuff. It's going to take you in the wrong direction, and you are going to pay. Over, if you would, in chapter 10. Chapter 10. No, we'll do that. Over, if you would, chapter 14. Chapter 14. And picking up, saying the same thought. Verse 10. Looking at the love. We love it. We love it. We're going to pursue. We love what we're doing, and we're going to do it. Chapter 14, verse 10. Thus saith the Lord unto this people. Thus have they loved. There's your verb. They love to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. It isn't going to come out good for you. Chapter 8, if I may, picking up in verse 2. And they, remember the destruction now that's coming. And they shall spread them, the enemy, when it comes in. How cruel, what are they going to do to Israel? Here they are coming in. And God tells you what's ahead for you people. You have done a horrible thing, and a horrible thing is going to happen to you. Thus, chapter 8, verse 2. And they shall spread, and they, the enemy, Nebuchadnezzar, shall spread them before the sun. The prophet, the priest, the princes, the people, what are they going to do? And they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the host of heaven. In other words, they're going to put the bodies up out of the ground. They're going to dig them up and put all of the bones of the people on top of the ground. Day and night they're going to lay out there. In the middle, verse 2. Whom they have loved. They have loved. Whom they have served, and after whom they have walked, and whom they have sought, and whom they have worshipped, they shall not be gathered, nor be buried. They shall be for dung upon the face of the earth, like manure laying on top of the ground. I'm going to do that. And when it comes to tribulation, the blood of the Armageddon is going to be up to the bridle of a horse when God does. So you say, wow, vengeance is mine, said God. If you think it's a picnic coming, no, it isn't. No, it isn't. No, no. So God, and we're trying to pay attention, because here we are trying to represent you in our day. That's right. Now, over in chapter 22, we're still on that love business. And God, what are you going to do to all their lovers and all the things they love? Chapter 22, picking up if I can, in verse 20. I'll even read verse 19 to get a little sense of the context. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. Go up to Lebanon and cry. Lift up thy voice in Bashan, and cry from the passages. For why? For all thy lovers are destroyed, and all the things you sought and wished for and dreamed are all gone. You brought nothing into the world, and I guarantee you'll take nothing out. I guarantee it. You want it all. We want it. Your bones will be on top of the ground. Shame, shame, shame. Wow. Now, thus in verse 21, I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou sayest, I will not hear. I will not hear what God says. We don't want to hear from the prophets. We don't want to hear from the priest. Verse 21, I will not hear. This hath been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. You have consistently been what you are. You never pay attention. Verse 22. The wind shall eat up all thy pastors, and thy lovers shall go into captivity. Surely then shalt thou be ashamed and confounded for all thy wickedness. And that's when the tribulation, in its most severest form, and Israel will wake up. Wow. Now, hang on to that. Order it back over, if you would. Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. Now, having said that, I'm going to read the statement. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their means. Guidance, direction, etc. And my people love to have it so. Now, God has a question. I'm going to exercise judgment. And, by the way, when you're all done with your lovers, and you're all done with your plans, and you're all done with your dreams, and you've got all your dreams and all your plans and all your loves, and you got them, what are you going to do when the end comes? What are you going to do? There's an end. But can't we get away with it? We got away with it this year and next year and the year after. You see, it's nothing's going to happen. Ah, that's what you think. Nothing's going to happen. So now, picking up that, with a little question, what will you do when the end comes? When the end comes thereof, what's he going to do? And thus the popular thinking becomes, you get people to think a given thing long enough, and it becomes accepted. And it becomes accepted as the standard. So if you practice, in our country or any country, you practice the wrong thing and let it go and let it go and let it go. Now try to fix it. Now try to fix it. Because you see, the public has got used to it. And they accept it. As wrong as it could be, when the realization comes, they will accept it. They will accept that as the standard. And they aren't interested in understanding that what's going to happen if we don't fix something. They're going to love where they're going, politics, religion. Down the road we go, down the road we go. Now, having said that, in the light of that popular thinking, over if you would with me. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. In Luke chapter 21, picking up, if I can, in verse 22. Let's get a little context, though. Verse 20, 21, 22, Luke. 21, 21, Luke. Let them that which are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let them which are in the midst of it depart out. Let not them that are in the countries enter therein. Now, remember, they're going to run. They're going to run as fast as they can. Now, if I understand it right, in the tornado in Oklahoma, they had 16 minutes. Is that correct? That's what I was told. 16 minutes from the time the whistle blew to the time the tornado hit. I'm amazed that that many got out, actually. Wow. 16 minutes. Would you have time to go and get an extra change of underwear? Would you care about your credit card? Would you care about your wallet? What would you care about? If you were smart, you would move as fast as you can without stopping. What are you saying, God, when you see the image of the Antichrist go up in the temple that will be built in Jerusalem by the Jews and the Antichrist? When you see that image go up, you run and don't you dare bother. You pray that you aren't pregnant so that you can move as fast as you can to get out of there. Wow. Wow. Get out of there. What are you going to do when the end comes? That's the question. Now, Luke chapter 21, and I'll read that again so you pick up, verse 21, and let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries therein, let them that are in the countries enter there into. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Vengeance is mine, said God, and I'm going to put the pieces together. Wow. I'm going to do it. Nah, I am. No, you wouldn't do it. We think you're an old nothing up there, God. You're nothing, see. And God said, you have a wrong concept of who I am. Wow. Now, thus, over if you would to 2 Thessalonians. Well, no, we won't do that. Over to, Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. Allow me to go, if I may. Great statements, beautiful statements. Verse 23, 10:23, Jeremiah. Verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We do not come out all right if we're left by ourselves. We're sheep going to be led to the slaughter. Verse 24. O Lord, correct me. Bind, restrict me, tame me. Correct me, but with judgment, a just measure. Not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to what? To nothing. God, judgment is mine, said God. Wow. God, correct me and judge me, but do it according, don't do it to your anger, because God, if you do, I have no way to survive. Now, chapter 30, Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30, and picking up, if I can, in verse 11. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all the nations, from Assyria, Babylon, Greece, Persia, Rome, the Antichrist, when I do them all, I'll make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee. Yet will I not make a full end of thee. You'll always be around. Israel, Jews, will always be there until the end of time. The millennium, it'll be there. Yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee. But God, don't correct me in your anger. I'll never make it. God said, I will correct thee in measure, there's your word, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. Vengeance is mine, said God. I'm going to judge Jerusalem and the people. I'm going to do it. But there'll be a remnant. There'll be a remnant that will survive. You can count on that. Over, if you would please, to Habakkuk. Habakkuk and chapter 2. In Habakkuk chapter 2, oh no, move over to chapter 3. Chapter 3 of Habakkuk, going directly, if I may, to verse 2. Habakkuk 3, 2. Again, remember, these guys are all living in the day, these prophets are all living in the days of Josiah that we're reading. They're all there. Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, they're all there. Here's Josiah, the king. And these guys are all out there. Wow. So here's Habakkuk. God, and Habakkuk says, Babylon's coming down. Babylon's coming down. Wow, God. And the people love it. They love the wrong direction. They're going to get clipped terribly. It's a horrible thing, God. What are we going to do as a remnant? Chapter 3 and verse 2. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work. Do it with great vigor. Roll up your sleeves and do it in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. When you're done, God, when you're done, remember mercy. And we share that how many times? Aren't you so glad? I am so glad. I live in that. Thank God, in our stupidity, God will be merciful if we're looking for it. Otherwise, we'd reap what we sow to the full extent. And you don't want to reap what you sow to the full extent. You thank God for his mercy. Now, that's what they're praying. And wrath, God, yeah, it isn't going to go away. No. So remember mercy, God. Correct me, but according to judgment, according to good measure, but not in your anger, God. I'm going to end up like nothing, with nothing, be nothing. Psalm 6. Psalm number 6. May I pick up, please, in thought? Psalm 6, listen to David, probably between the time of Bathsheba and Absalom's rebellion, right in there. And David's got a tough thing going here. Wow. And he's physically down. Physically down. You'll pick it up. But Psalm 6, verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger. Don't do that. Neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Why? for I am weak, physical, mentally, I am weak, O Lord. Heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed, mentally and physically. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul, and save me for thy mercy's sake. Save me, God. My enemies are there. Everyone's after me, God. And God, and David, when he's talking, that's what you do. You talk to God, listen to God. You don't just sit there like a dunce. You talk. You got a problem, you talk to God. And you get it out. Supplication, you bring to God. And you get to God, and you start listening to God. You talk, and then you get there where you have to listen. And sometime you have to do that. You're trying to help somebody. You got to let them talk. And you let them talk, and let them talk, and let them talk. And after 2 hours, they finally tell you why they're there. You see, it would help if they told you that in the beginning. It would save so much time, and you gain so much advantage. But, so, here we are looking, and God, we're going to look to you, and we stop and listen to God. And listen to God. That's what you need to do. You want to get on with it. God, help me. When you get, we said the other day somewhere, when you have depression, press down. What's the solution? Quickly, press on. Get up and move forward. You want to get out of it. You'll never get out of it sitting there, sitting in your, you'll sit like that, and you'll cook yourself. No. In the light of that. So David, verse 6, verse 8, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, my enemies, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplications. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. God, David, if you hang in there, you're going to start getting with it, and your whole language will change, your thoughts will change, and you're going to get there. But you got to spend time there to listen. So it isn't just whatever. So you're getting it. Wow. Over, if you would, please, to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, you are familiar. Going to pick up the thought, if I may, in verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. We're doing all right. I'm all right. I have my solutions. I have my plan. I'm going to do it. Well, you can. Lots of people do that. Verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, are extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up as much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God be merciful to what? To me, a sinner. And the word merciful, God be to me a mercy seat. Here's the ark and the holiness of God. And apart from that mercy seat, no way. And Christ is the answer. Christ makes that seat possible so that we can sit at the right hand of God. We are seated in heavenly places because of that seat, his mercy seat. And we sit there. Wow. Privileged. And thus, God be merciful to me, a sinner. God be a mercy seat to me. Now, over to Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1. And just getting a little of the context. Verse 6. seeing it is a righteous thing. Well, I got to go up a little further. Verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations, that you endure them, which is a manifest, very public, clear, plain token, a sign of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And God, they're going to trouble you. And God said, I'm going to trouble them. I'm going to trouble them. They'll trouble you. I'll trouble them. Now, thus, verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That sounds like we just read in Jeremiah. They don't obey. They don't want to know. God said, I'm going to take vengeance on that. If you don't mind, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to avenge myself. They were to honor me as creator, and they utterly refused to do so. Huh. Now, having said that, wow. And I'll read verse 9. Who shall be punished with an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, his strength. Now, over to 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. And you'll notice, please, in 1 Thessalonians 5, remember now you're looking at verse 1, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child. They shall not escape. What are you going to do when the end comes? That's who wants to know. When the end comes, what are you guys going to do out there? The world, what are you going to do? Thus, sliding down, if I can. Well, I'll read it, why not? You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, children of the light, let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and an helmet, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Oh, why? For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. God, here we are. And wrath, in wrath, remember mercy. Ah, that's, you got it, Habakkuk. But hey, we have an advantage, Habakkuk. We have an advantage because we're on the other side of the cross. And the wrath of God has been leveled against our Lord and Savior. And in him, we are protected. The guillotine came down upon his head. It would have been mine, but it hit him and spared me. Wow. Thus, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And you know, for our gospel, verse 5, our gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, came not unto you in word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Now, and verse 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. people say it's stupid to be. No. I'm going to hang on to the right thing in the right way. God help me. With joy, in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. Verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Now in the light of the wrath of God, no, we're waiting. We're waiting, God. In wrath, remember mercy. Mm-hmm. Verse 10, what are we doing, God? We're waiting. What are you going to do when the end comes? We're looking for God. We're looking. Our end is you. You are the end. For we wait, and we wait for the Son, his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And we're waiting. Wow, God. So here's our world. So moving. And people, is anyone waking up? Hardly. Europe? No. Africa? No. South America? No. Canada? Not that I know. Europe? Where? Where are they waking up? Who's waking up? As a people. Individuals? But as a people? No. God. But here we are, back where we started. Here we are, a little band of people meeting together on the Lord's Day, on prayer meeting. And of all the people, 7 billion of them plus in the world. And here we are. And here's God. And you got counted. God counts us as among those that watch for him, wait for him. We're waiting, God. We're waiting. The world isn't. The world isn't waiting. We're waiting, God. Wow. Perhaps you have a particular request you'd have for prayer.